Let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Revelation 22, 7 to 6, 7 to 16, where Jesus talks about coming again. We'll actually be talking a little bit about his first coming and the prophecies with regard to that, but also then, as you can see from this reading, about his second coming. He is the awaited star. He was the awaited star for the Old Testament believers, and he is the star or the light that we anticipate will come also in the future when we will receive the inheritance that is in heaven, right? Let's read then 7 to 7, and then as far as 16. Behold, I'm coming soon, Jesus says. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. This is Jesus speaking, right? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So that's one of the texts that we'll be focusing on, what he says right there at the end as well. I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Then let's turn to Luke 2. Luke 2, and let's read 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. Now the verses 32 are also should be emphasized. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. So those verses then that I mentioned. The outline is this, the awaited star, one, his advent, two, his arrival, and three, his action. So those 3 points. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go into this new year, this upcoming new year, all of us as Christians know, of course, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ to be with us in every way and every day and every moment. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We don't want to just be in this light, right? We need to have him as our light, as our Savior, as our consolation or comfort, as Simeon said, as our guiding star, right? Three wise men and star. He needs to be our guiding star in life. He needs as well to be our Lord and ruler. We need him to be our Lord and ruler in this coming year. In this message, then, let us look at his advent, his arrival, and his action. His advent, his coming, was predicted in the Old Testament. In fact, his coming is described as the coming of, or the rising of, a star. When Balak, the Moabite king, you might remember this story, when Balak, the Moabite king, asked Balaam, a seer or prophet, to curse Israel, he blessed Israel instead. And then he said, he couldn't help it, because God was impelling him or compelling him. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult, also all the sons of chaos, chaos all around. Order is created or made by this son, or established by this son, this ruler. In other words, a particular blessing for Israel will be that out of Israel will come a supreme ruler. He first speaks of the man as of this man as a star, and then as a scepter. He will rise out of Israel, but rule the whole world. The blessing of the whole nation of Israel, then dependent on this coming star, this coming king. Israel would not reach its God-intended destiny until this king arrived. All other leaders, rulers and kings in Israel, you could say were only sparks of God's blessing until this was completed in the brightness manifested in Christ, in the star of Christ. His light will be as brilliant as the sun. He'll have no equal. Balaam prophesies that this king will subdue all Israel's enemies, Moab as well as all others. He will subdue the rebellious. This coming king will reign supreme. Now, it could be said that David fulfilled this prophecy in a physical sense. If you know your history of the Old Testament, you might think that. He conquered Moab at a certain point in that early history in which he was involved when he was king. He conquered Moab after they mistreated his soldiers, who he sent to give a new king friendly greetings. David then went to battle against them and conquered them. After conquering them, he executed 2/3 of the soldiers of Moab, so they were no longer a threat to him. In addition, David subdued Edom, and they became subject to him as well. Note that both enemies were relatives. The Moabites were children of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and the Edomites were children of Esau, brother of Jacob. What David did at that point pointed ahead to his son, Jesus, who will, in the course of time, not only destroy all forces that rebel against God, but transform or change the hearts of the remainder as well. He truly is the star and scepter then that rules, and he is ruling today. He's been given all authority in heaven and on earth, as you know. Balaam saw this star, this scepter, approximately 1,500 years ago. To Matthew Henry before his coming, he is the ruler promised in Jacob's blessing to Judah earlier. He is the son promised to David. He is the star of Bethlehem that guided the wise men to Bethlehem. He was the star that Malachi refers to as the son of righteousness who would arise with healing in his wings. He is the one that Isaiah talked about when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned." This is who Jesus Christ is, who we remember, many of us, during this time of year. It was a time of darkness. We come to the second point. It was a time of darkness when this star arose. Isaiah says that the people at the time of Messiah's birth were walking in darkness. When the Bible speaks about darkness, it means, first of all, that there were very few believers, very few who had a living relationship with God. Darkness in the Bible, maybe as you know, represents death. The land of the shadow of death is a land in which death reigns. Or the land of the shadow of darkness is a land in which death reigns. Israel was in such darkness then. They were disconnected from God. In Israel, only a few remembered the prophecy of the Messiah and longed for his coming. And as well, the prevailing messianic expectations, but mistaken expectations. So only what I mean by that is, they had messianic expectations, right? But not the right messianic expectations. So there were only a few that still believed in Israel at this time. So the few genuine believers were surrounded by a majority of unbelievers, even in Israel. They were all Israelites, right? Descendants of Abraham. But very few in Israel were truly believers who were serving the one true God then. Rather, the majority of the people in Israel were in bondage, you could say, to the devil. They were his slaves. However, at precisely that time then, God sent this mighty angel that stands in his presence, Gabriel, to bring good news into the world. He sends him first, as you may recall, to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and then to Mary in Nazareth, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and then to Joseph, his father, to tell them about the birth of the Messiah. Gabriel spoke for God. You could say, through Gabriel, God revealed himself to them. There was light, again, even in his message. Through Gabriel, they heard God's voice, and most of them, except for Zacharias, as you may recall, responded by faith. And the Lord Jesus then was born in Bethlehem. Then the glory of the Lord came to the shepherds in the fields. They heard about the glory of the Savior as the angels of heaven sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on earth." They went to see and found him in a manger, and they spoke about him to all who they met. They revealed him, as we are also called to reveal him in our life as we go into this year ahead of us. A little while later, after his birth, wise men who had seen a star in the east came to Jerusalem looking for this great king that was to be born to the Jews. They were told he was to be born in Bethlehem, so they went there. Now, as they were going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, his star appeared and guided them to the place where he was living with his parents, Mary and Joseph. Many of the predictions about the Lord speak about revelation, about light, about illumination. First, it'll be seen that he is the star, the supreme ruler. He will shed light on the true condition of mankind. And as the light, he will reveal and cause people to understand God and turn then to him. The Messiah will be all these things that I just mentioned. This was the star then that Simeon had been waiting for all those many years, as we heard. A Dutch commentator named Geldenhuis, for those who may know Dutch a bit, pictures a slave in ancient Israel on a lonely hill at night, keeping watch on behalf of his master for a particular star. After waiting long years, he finally sees the star rising bright and beautiful. Then he's released from his charge and freed from further watch. This is the picture of Simeon. Simeon was waiting for the star of the house of Jacob. You can hear it in his tone, how eagerly he had been yearning to see the Messiah, to behold the Messiah. He says, "Now I can die in peace. I have seen the Lord. I've seen the light, the star that was to come, the Messiah that was to free the people of Israel." The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ. The words "the Lord Jesus Christ" means the Lord's Christ means the Lord's anointed, of course. In other words, God promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah, the Lord's anointed, before his death. What a great promise that was. Listen to Simeon's words when he saw Jesus once again. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your words. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the Gentiles and a glory of your people Israel." A light to the Gentiles, right? That means us. A light to you, a light to the Gentiles, and a glory of the people of Israel. The glory of the people of Israel, of the Jewish race, of the true Israel, of course. In Jesus, Simeon beheld the Savior of all God's people. That's what he saw there as he's holding that baby, imagine. He beheld the one who would open the eyes of the Gentiles, transform our hearts, transform their hearts, the one who would be the glory of Israel. He saw him as a baby and in faith knew that this baby was the glory of the people of Israel, of whom he was also a member, right? Because he had looked forward to the coming of this Messiah. The Apostle John writes, in a certain spot then, in confirmation of this, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's who Jesus was. Have you seen him? Have you beheld him in all the words of Scripture and all the accounts of His birth and everything that He tells us in His Word, even in the Old Testament, right, as we already heard. Have you seen Him? Simeon beheld Him. The disciples saw the glorious Son of God, the brilliance of this Savior, the wisdom, the supreme wisdom of this Savior, the power of this Savior, the authority with which He spoke of this Savior. What did He do and what does He do? What will He do? We come to the third point now. His action. Simeon knew as well. Some water. Simeon knew as well that this Savior, this Star of Bethlehem, who he had waited for so long, would suffer. That's also in this message. He says to Mary and Joseph, and perhaps Anna as well, who may have come to prophetess, who also came around this time up to Joseph and Mary, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And our version has that a sword, that's the New King James Version, that a sword will pierce through your own soul also. This revelation to Simeon was unique. He not only was able to see the Savior, but God revealed to him that many in Israel would fall, would stumble on account of this Savior. Why was this to happen? Well, because they would not know Him to be the Messiah. They would not recognize Him. They would be offended by Him, and they would crucify Him. And later, too, His crucifixion would become a stumbling block to the majority of His own people. So He'd become a stumbling block. However, there would also be those who would believe in Him, Simeon says, who would rise on account of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would indeed be a light, the long-awaited star of the Gentiles who would transform them, as you have, right? God has revealed to us the reason for our Lord's suffering and death, which was to overcome man's sin, our sin. He has showed us that being Savior meant that He had to die on the cross to truly become the Son of Righteousness in His wings, that rises with healing in His wings, the Son of Righteousness, right, that Isaiah predicts. We know as well that He arose from the grave, and as a star, the scepter of Jacob rules now at God's right hand, that He has been exalted higher than heavens, that He is in heaven in charge of all things. This is His state. He is supreme over all and will rule forever. His kingdom will have no end. He's now ruling over us and over all things in this world that we're living in. That should also give us tremendous comfort that He is ruling, that He has all authority over everything, right? He is the one who proclaimed from heaven to the Apostle John, as we heard, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." The question is only, isn't it, how will we respond to Him? How will we serve Him in this year that's before us? Will we serve Him? Will we serve Him? Right. Will He turn us off? Will we serve Him? Will we respond to Him in a positive way? Or will He turn us off? Will we reject Him? Will He be a stumbling block to us? Or will we submit to His rule and to His guidance as our guiding star, as the awaited star? What kind of people will we be in the year that lies ahead? I don't say should we be, but will we be on purpose? The angel of Revelation tells us that there will be two kinds of people who live between the time of the Lord's exaltation and His final coming. That on the one hand, there will be unjust people, and that they will continue to be unjust. That there will be filthy people who will continue to be filthy. And on the other hand, there will be righteous people who will continue to be righteous, and holy people who continue to be holy. What kind of people will you be? After telling us there will be two kinds of people, the Lord warns that he'll come quickly. In our scripture from Revelation, he says that twice before talking about the state of the people on earth and after. When things are repeated in the Bible, this means that we should listen very carefully to it. This is what he's telling John. Watch. Watch. I'm coming soon. Be on your guard. Be ready for my return. Look to me as the morning star, as the light to guide you, as the ruler to whom you should submit in the coming year. Before anyone knows it, when they're living as they want to, he's saying to them, I will be back. I'm coming quickly. So be on your guard. Be watchful. This is how we are to live always then, as if he will soon come back. Yes, soon he will return in all his glory and splendor as the long-awaited exalted star and scepter. But the question is, isn't it, once again, will we be like Simeon, eagerly waiting for him? Will we be ready by living for him and to the glory of God? How can we do that, then, is the next question. How will we be able to do that? You will not worship him as you should, will you? You will not live as you should. We can't, can we? Unless he not only rules us outwardly, but inwardly. Right? He has to rule in here. And then the expression of our faith will also be in harmony with what the Word teaches us, right? So he must rule in our hearts. He must be the light in our hearts. The Lord Jesus would be the light to the Gentiles. Is Christ your light? Is he at work in you? We need the Lord Jesus to do that. We need Jesus to be our light so that we can remove the darkness and sin that is within us. He must be our light, our star, our sun, our ruler, not just today, but every day in the coming year as well. This means that you and I will need to listen to his word, because he is the one who speaks through the scriptures to us. It is that gospel which will bring us out of all of our darkness. The Apostle Peter writes that it is as a light that shines in a dark place, that it will continue shining as we listen to it until the day dawns and the morning star shines in our hearts. In other words, as we listen to God's word, the Holy Spirit will cause the Lord Jesus as the morning star to shine in our hearts. As we listen then to his word and submit to him through it, he himself will shine in our hearts and rule there. We need this light, don't we? We need his powerful light to make his own word meaningful to us. We need him to enable us to love God and to love keeping his commandments, which Psalm 119:105 describes as a light upon our path. We need him to dispel the darkness all around us and within us as well. We need him to overcome the darkness in many who still do not believe. We need him to overcome our natural rebelliousness and sinful nature so that we will truly love others, say kind and gracious things about others and to others. We need him to love all those close to us. We need him to be fair and just. We need him to be fair and loving to our parents as well. We need him to be there for us when hardships and difficulties arise in our lives. Just as the Lord suffered much from those who hated him because of who he was, Christians know that they will suffer because people hate his people like they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, when that happens, then you can look to him as your comfort and as your refuge, as the one who will keep you in times of trouble and will help you in times of difficulty. He'll stand by you and be with you in all your difficulties, in all your sorrows with regard to everything that grieves you and causes you pain. The Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings. Finally, When and if the Lord calls you home, He is the one who will prepare you so that you will be ready for that time, and is preparing you for that time. As Simeon finally was ready to go home after seeing Jesus and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, you will be ready." This is the comfort we have because the awaited star has arrived and is shining brightly. He is preparing you through His Word and through His Spirit. Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go into the year ahead, we may have great confidence because we know the Lord Jesus is the ascended morning star whose light is shining brighter and brighter with every passing year because He's coming closer. We have great confidence about the year ahead because He will enlighten and guide you and He will dispel all your darkness. That's the kind of confidence we can have in the year that is ahead of us. He will be there for you. He will guide you in the paths of righteousness so that you will shine as stars in this dark world. May He come soon as He has promised us so that there will be no darkness anywhere at all and we can see Him face to face to behold His glory. We thank God for our Savior and we await for Him to come as our awaited star. We look eagerly forward then to His coming again. Amen.